Evet, sıra sizde. Biliyorsunuz ki doktorumuz, beyin cerrahımız, medal iftarımız. Şimdi mikrofon sizin. Buyurun, teşekkür ederiz.
Hello and salam everybody. And Mr. Adnan Oktar's salam, greetings and deep love and respect to all of you. Now we have we listen to the speakers today. It is impossible for life to emerge by chance. This is a scientifically and logically proved, and there is a creator, definitely. If somebody says I am, that means definitely this person is being created. Now if you look at the scientific evidences, for example, they say if life emerged by chance, take a single protein molecule from a cell. There are thousands, even 10 billion proteins exist in a cell. One protein to exist by chance is impossible because other proteins must exist. Proteins can only be synthesized by a battalion of the proteins. DNA must exist. RNA must exist. A complete living cell must exist. And if you look at the history of life, we see the cyanobacteria, which can do photosynthesis, emerge 3.7 billion years ago all at once. Now, last fossils actually have shown that 4.3 billion years ago, actually, the first cell appeared all at once. That's a deadly blow to Darwinism. And also the fossil evidence. We have 700 million fossils today. We don't have any transitional forms. The species appeared abruptly, complete, and perfectly formed. That was admitted by Darwin, that was admitted by Niels Eldredge, all the paleontologists, Darwinists, that species appear all at once, with sudden creation. Now, the subject, now you're going to listen, my talk, reveals its crucial secret about your life. So you should listen to it attentively, because it's going to change your outlook into the material world. This is not a different approach. It is not a philosophy, but this is a fact supported by the science of today. Okay. The external world, we observe the external world with our five senses: the vision, hearing, taste, touch, and smell. So the man is conditioned right from the beginning that life is absolute material reality, because we observe the outside world through our five senses. Now, if you look at the scientific evidences, science tells us very different. Now, I want to go out of these five senses into the chemistry and into the vision and give you the scientific evidences, what science tells us today. Now, you see a candle over here. This candle, the electrons of this candle emits photons. These are so-called rays. The photons shower our eyes, and these photons, the rays, the light, is changed through electrical signals, and electric signals only travel in the brain, and the brain interprets these electric signals as vision. So the light itself never enters the brain. The brain is isolated to light, actually. It's complete darkness in the brain. Only the electric signals. So electrical copy of the outside world exists in the brain. Now, you see an eye over here. Okay. Let's go. I'm going to talk about a little bit about the eye structure also. The light comes into our eyes. It goes through the cornea, through the lens, through some kind of fluid inside of the eye, and it travels up to the retina, the nerve cells. These are light-sensitive cells. You see, there are different layers of eye. There are like at least 40 different components, and that these components must exist all at once, all together, the eye to be functional. That's also a deadly blow, of course, to the Darwinism. And we look at the history of life. We see the first eye appeared in the Cambrian life with 36,000 lenses, Anomalocaris. The fossils showed us 32,000 different lenses exist as an organ of the eye. This is the first eye in the history of life. Now you see some vessels. I want to pay attention to that. And a big cable. That's the optic nerve. There are no light-sensitive cells over here. It's called blind spot. So we have a big blind spot in the eye. So we have a large, huge defect in the vision, actually. We can't see. But we don't have any defect. If you look at it, we see perfectly. And the vessels exist in front of the light-sensitive cells. Can we stop down here? Can we stop this now? Okay. This is the optic nerve, blind spot. These are the light-sensitive cells. But in front of these light-sensitive cells, there are two layers of different cells and 1 million axons. So the light-sensitive cells are actually blocked by two layers of cells and these axons, 1 million axons. And in front of that, we have vessels. So you know what? It is impossible for eye to see. It is God created this way. Technically and scientifically, the eye cannot see. Now, let's go further, actually. Of course, we have a vision of nature, the birds, the flowers, and the universe. The stars are right inside himself in the center of the vision of his brain. So we have a feeling of space. For example, now you're in a conference room. Now you'll see the screen. Are you in the conference room? No. The conference room is inside you, inside your brain, actually. But we have the feeling, the sense of space inside the brain because of the electrical copies. So, of course, I see a distance. For example, I see 10 meters, 20, 50 meters, or we can look at the universe, we see the stars, but everything at a single spot inside the brain, actually. But that gives us the sense, the feeling of space. Now, we have the electrical copies. That means we can never confront the original of the matter because we can never exit the brain and take a look what is outside. So we can never confront the original of the matter. We are only confronted with the electrical copies inside the brain. So do we need an external world to generate these senses, these electric signals in the brain? Scientific answer is no. How do we know? The scientific advancement, the simulators, for example, there are simulators produced. They were put on the blind patients. These simulators, they put on blind patients. They generate vibrating pulses in the back of their head. After a while, they started to see, actually. When the camera zoomed in, they had the urge, they raised their hands to protect themselves. So you know what that means? The external world is not needed to generate senses in the brain. The second powerful evidence comes from our dreams. But first, George Berkeley. George Berkeley is a bishop, a devout Christian, and he's a philosopher. Let's see what he said. He said, "We think that things exist because we see and touch them. It is because they give us these sensations that we believe in their existence. But our sensations are but ideas which we have in our minds. We are then deluding ourselves when we think we know the world and things to be exterior to us, since they exist only in our minds." And it's correct. The level of science wasn't that far, like today's 21st century science, but he knew it is impossible to check what is outside, and external world is just something happens inside our minds. Now, I told you about these simulators. So they generate these senses without an external world. So an external world is not needed, actually. What about dreams? The dreams are very powerful evidence. We always experience this evidence every night, almost every night. Whenever we fall asleep, we see crowds of people. People we have never seen before. Houses we have never seen before. We go into environments that we have never been before. And sometimes we behave against the physical laws, but we never question because there is a different memory, different consciousness. You never question. For example, I fly sometimes in my dreams, and I never say, I cannot fly because there's gravity. It is impossible according to the physical laws. Because I have a different memory, different consciousness in my dreams. I have a space, I see the sun, I feel the wind. And but you are lying in your bed and your eyes are closed. There is no sound, no touch, nothing. Complete silence, but perfect senses. And we feel the hardness of the matter, for example. Imagine in your dream, somebody is in his dream, is trying to object his friend, saying that he cannot see the original matter. Now he puts his hand on his friend's shoulder and says, well, what makes you think that you cannot be in touch with the original word? Let's take a trip in the Bosphorus. And he gets into his car and starts to drive the car, feels the wind. And when he is ready to object his friend that he cannot see the original matter, all of a sudden, the alarm rings and he wakes up. Now, this could be in the sleep or awake to object somebody who says he cannot see the original matter, this could be in the so-called real life. The reason why we call this real life is because it's a waking, maybe dream. And we will find out about that because we only find out about dreams when we wake up. So one day, we will be woken up with death. And we will find out that all about this is another dream. So it's a waking dream, of course. Now this is from Prophet Muhammad. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that people are asleep and wake up when they die. This is to say that the objects seen in the world when alive are similar to those seen when asleep while dreaming. So that gives us a lot of evidence actually about the nature of this life. Not only that, in the Quran there are very powerful statements. God says in one of the verses, I seek refuge in Allah from a cursed Satan. They will say, alas for us, who has raised us from our sleeping place? Now, this is important because we only are aware of the dream when we only wake up. So when they are raised, they say, who raised us from our sleeping place, God says. This is what the All-Merciful promised us. The messengers were telling the truth. So then, of course, the next question is, who is the perceiver? If the eyes cannot see, then who is the one that sees or hears or touches or smells or tastes? Of course, this has to be a supramaterial being. Now, first, this Richard Gregory is a neuropsychologist from Royal Academy. He says in his book, there is a temptation which must be avoided to say that the eyes produce pictures in the brain. A picture in the brain suggests the need of some kind of internal eye to see it. But this would need a further eye to see its picture, and so on. In an endless regress of eyes and pictures, this is absurd, of course. But he knows if the eye cannot see, there are electric signals, copies of this so-called external world, then we must have an internal eye that sees. So who is the perceiver is the question. And another one, Ken Wilber, he says, philosophers, since the Greeks have speculated about the ghost in the machine, the little man inside the little man, and so on. Where is the I, the entity that uses the brain? Who does the actual knowing? Or as Saint Francis of Assisi once put it, what we are looking for is what is looking. So, this material world is perceived by a being, which is supermaterial being, which is not matter, and which is not image. This is the soul. It's a metaphysical being who can perceive. Okay. Now, in Quran, another statement from the Quran, God says, God keeps a firm hold on the heavens and earth, preventing them from vanishing away. And if they vanished, no one could then keep hold of them. Certainly, he is the most forbearing, ever forgiving. But scientifically and logically, that follows actually. And God says the same thing in the Quran. The universe is not stable. This universe, this earth is not stable. It is only exists because of the continuous creation of God. If this creation stops, all entire universe, everything disappears. It's because of the ceaseless creation of the God it exists. Otherwise, it does not exist. To God belong the east and the west. Wherever you turn, there is the presence of Allah. For God is all-pervading and all-knowing. So, the sense of space, I explained to you, scientifically only exists in the brain. The entire universe, this room, the conference room, I said, although it looks like this is the artistry of God, like exterior to me, I see your people and everything, but everything is actually happening in my brain. In my brain, in a single spot. So this is a feeling of the space. And my body is also part of this external world. I see my hands, I see my legs, I see a body moving inside of the space, but everything is in fact happening inside of the brain as an electrical copy. This is a scientific fact. What about the brain? The brain is also part of this external world, because we assume something exists in our head. For example, if I would take out my skull, open my skull and take out my brain in my hands in front of me, I would see a brain. If I say I see the brain in my brain, so where do I see it? Right there? The brain is there? Or I'm right here? So you understand, logically and scientifically, this inevitably follows that leads us to think, who is the perceiver? This is the soul. And God is not bound with the space. God created us in the dimension of time and space, but is not bound to the space and encompasses everything. Our inside, our outside, our ideas, our thoughts, everything God encompasses. So God says, wherever you turn, there is the presence of God. So God is everywhere because not bound of the space. The space is a feeling that is perceived to us. So sometimes the materialists say, you know, materialism absolutely rejects the existence of anything beyond matter. But science is not obliged to accept such a dogma. You look at the scientific evidences. This is not true, of course. We have seen scientifically. And a being which has an image of illusion cannot see an absolute being. We are a being with an image of, with a quality of illusion, actually. So we will never be able to see God, because God is absolute being. However, God sees us. And that statement is in the Quran. Eyesight cannot perceive him, but he perceives eyesight. We created man, and we know what his own self whispers to him. We are nearer to him than his jugular vein. So, space, of course, we live since the very beginning. I told you, man is conditioned right from the very beginning that life is absolute material reality. We have the feeling of the space and time, but God is not above that, and this is only created actually, as a feeling, as a sense for us. Does it exist in reality? No, I said the conference room inside me, so there is the space then. In our dreams, we lie in the bed, we drive our car, we travel from Istanbul to Ankara or to New York, we fly in the airplane. So are we moving in a real space? Not at all, but only we discover that when we wake up. So when we will be woken up, then we may discover that this was another dream also. Now, it's also a scientific fact, also another statement from the Holy Book, that our movements, all our actions are created by God. Now, I will give you first the scientific evidence, then I will read this verse to you. There were experiments done in Berlin, Bernstein. It's a very famous lab, actually. They have done experiments on several people. They put these people into the MR scan. It's a different MR scan. It's called functional MR scan. It shows wherever is electrical activity in the brain, it shows immediately. So they were given two buttons, actually, and they were asked to make a decision. For example, I have two buttons, and I'm going to push the right one. I decide that with my free will, okay? And then they watch that with the, through the functional MR scan, and they record the timing of this decision. Every time these people push the button by their free will and make decision, of course, I make a decision and I immediately press the button, 10 seconds before, 10 seconds, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 seconds before, they saw in the MR scan, in the motor cortex, motor area, you know, it's like this, this way, it's crossed the pathways. For example, if I press the right button and I make my decision, 10 seconds before the decision, actually, this area is activated and they cannot change this decision. So who is the one who makes the decision? Who creates these actions, actually? And that fact is given in the Quran also. When you threw, it was God who threw. So God creates all these actions. God created both you and what you do. So we only have the imagination, the sense of we are doing something. But scientifically, 10 seconds before, for example, I'm speaking over here, if you would put an MR scan on my brain, you would discover that 10 seconds before these words in my language center, it started, I cannot stop that. I feel like I'm making the decision and I'm constructing these sentences and I make these gestures over here, I push these buttons. 10 seconds before in my brain, the brain is activated and I cannot change this decision. So, the important statement is, of course, there is clearly a creator, God, who displays a magnificent creation, who has omnipotent intelligence, eternal power and might, and creator of everything. Now, another information is given in the Quran, actually. It is in the source book with us, high, exalted, full of wisdom. So our entire life, like a dream, actually is known by God. It's not known for us. That's the reason why we are being tested, because we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, what's going to happen next week. But this is not true for the God, because time is also another perception. Let me give you another example, actually, scientific evidence. In Princeton, Advanced Research Center, it's called NEC. The Einstein's laboratory, wherever the Einstein worked years ago, these are very famous technical labs. They did an experiment, Wang group. Wang was who published this paper, actually. That was in the world media, in the entire Turkish media, American media, everywhere. They send a laser beam into a cesium environment. The environment was full of cesium. The laser beam entered this environment, and you know what happened? The speed increased 300 times speed of light in this environment. So the speed comes into the environment. This light of speed increased 300 times. You know what happened? They observed that the light exited this environment and then entered the environment. So all these cause and effect relationship changed. So you know what I'm saying? The time worked backwards, actually. The light entered, of course, logically and scientifically, the light must enter the environment first and then exit, right? No. Because of speed increase 300 times, it exited first and then entered the cesium environment. So time, there is no absolute time. Time is another perception. There is no time for God. God created the eternal life, our eternal life, in the infinite fraction of a second, and finished it. That fact is given in the holy books, actually. In the Bible, in the Quran, and in the Torah. Okay, let me finish. So, the fact is very obvious. There is a creator. We have seen Darwinism is a fallacy. There is sudden creation. But another fact, very powerful fact, is that we only observe a perception. And of course, if we ask the question, who creates these perceptions, who creates these images, we inevitably come to the fact that God is the creator of everything. If he did ask you for it, all your wealth, and put you under pressure, you would be tight-fisted and it would bring out your malevolence. What that means is, you know, somebody who has a bank account, a car, a beautiful house, swimming pool, a boat, and travels, maybe he has an airplane, very rich, holdings, companies. He has all of this as an imagination. Like in a dream, for example. So, having a great love to this and making the purpose of this life doesn't make any sense. If this is only a dream and the perceptions we are dealing with created by God, there is a purpose of this life. The purpose of this life is not having a good career, a good family, or making a lot of money. You can have this, of course, but this is not a purpose of life. You know, the purpose of this life is to gain the great pleasure of God, to live accordingly. He described that in his book. He introduces himself in the holy books, and he describes the way to live. So this shouldn't be kept secret, because this is going to change the entire life. You know, they say stress is the disease of this century. Why? Because people don't think about these facts. If they found out about this reality, of course, if they would think about the destiny and God creates everything, of course, they would be have a very secure life. And never think about what's going to happen tomorrow, what's going to happen if I lose my career, if I lose my money, if I get sick, if I get old, if I die. Everything is under God's control. We know, we understand this scientifically and logically. This is an inevitable conclusion. But there are some logical deficiencies of the materialists. For example, this is very childish. They say, if, for example, a bus hits you, you have a broken bone, then you will find out if the matter is real or not. If somebody slaps you, then you will see if the matter is real or not. Or if you have a cut and you see the blood, then you will find out. No, we don't say that only the vision is an imagination. Only the vision. The pain, the blood, the touch sensation, the sound, the taste and smell, all are created as electrical copies. We never confront the original matter, actually. This is the bus, the pain, the broken bone are all parts, and your body is part of this so-called external world, which exists, which is created as a perception to your soul. So sometimes they say, we don't believe in God, the materialists, because we don't see God with our eyes. But if this person, all of us, of course, and image or a quality of illusion, of course, you cannot see the eternal being. So, scientifically and logically, this is an inevitable fact, and we should live accordingly. So the truth cannot be avoided. Just to finish that, God has promised those of you who believe and do right actions, and he will make them successors in the land as he made those before them successors, and will firmly establish for them their religion with which he is pleased, and give them in the place of their fear security. They worship me, not associating anything with me. Any who disbelieve after that, such people are deviators. So God promises us good morality will prevail the world. We know this from the Bible, from the Torah, from the Quran and Islamic sources. We are living in specific times called end times. The first part of the end times is wars, violence, and the bloodshed. With the return of Jesus and appearance of the Mahdi Moshiach of Judaism and Islam, there will be a golden age. And we are living in these specific times. God controls this, and God promises that in the Quran. Now, remember, I talked to you about the destiny. God created everything in an infinite fraction of a second and finished it. So the future for us is not future for the God. God sometimes in the Quran talks about the future, or the present tense, or the past tense. God talks about the future sometimes in the past tense, and sometimes in the present tense, and sometimes in the future, because the future for us is not future for the God. God created that and finished it. So good days will come. We are very hopeful. We will see Jesus soon. We will see Mehdi, Moshiach of Islam and in Judaism soon. And there will be a golden age. Thank you very much for listening.